Welcome to the Safety Third Podcast. This is a very special episode because we're missing everyone's favorite host. That's right. Niall Red is not here today. So you can just click away.
Just leave now.
Close this. Don't even.
What's the point?
That's a great question.
You should still put him in the thumbnail, though.
That's what this video should be titled. What's the point? And
Nigel.
The whole thing is just us, you know, borderline. Yeah. What,
cyberbullying
you're not
Nigel.
You're talking about that kind of stuff on YouTube.
The title can be "Someone Couldn't Make It," and the thumbnail is a picture of Nigel, so people still click on it because Nigel's there, but that he's the one who couldn't make it. That's SEO, baby.
Yeah, we deliver right at the beginning, so you can't get mad at us.
Exactly. If you stick around, that's your fault.
The one thing Nigel couldn't make was showing up to this podcast.
Well, because he didn't say no in the Discord, and I assumed that meant yes, but saying it out loud, I realized that's wrong.
He's very vocal about not showing up, so I kind of assumed that he would show up unless he did, because he likes to say no.
He does.
So maybe he's dead. Has anyone heard from him?
Don't say that.
Don't say the last thing that he said in any Discord server.
He said, "I'm about to die."
Oh, yeah. No, I think he said, "I am
please
actively
help,
dying."
Call, and then it just stopped.
Jimmy, you can't get off my cue. Kevin,
yeah, somehow he was able to hit enter, but he wasn't able to hit any of the other keystrokes after.
I like your dumpster, Kevin. That's actually the coolest thing you've ever made.
Thank you.
It looks exactly like, I mean, okay, so I realize how stupid this sounds because I say it looks exactly like a dumpster I made, but also it's because a lot of these dumpsters have a very similar...
There's like three models of dumpsters, and that's it.
Yeah, and you found the prettiest picture, which is the same thing I did. So if you can't see it because you're listening to this episode, because apparently
also,
a lot of people listen.
Yeah.
You want to describe what's on on the desk behind the camera, Kevin?
I made a dumpster. It's like it's about 18 inches long, 12 inches deep, and it's made out of aluminum.
Wait.
And it's on fire.
Out of aluminum?
That's legit. Yeah.
Would you want me to bring it over?
Yeah.
I actually thought you had just like spray painted it chrome, which I thought was kind of a weird choice, but now that makes more sense. It's just raw aluminum.
That looks legit. So you could put a real fire in there. You don't even have to have like there's a fake fire in there right now.
Oh, I should have done that. I spent so long trying to. You know how hard that is? Because it's like the paper towels are the flames and they blow out, but then
air has
to go.
I thought you just bought like a Halloween decoration. You actually made the flames too.
Air has to go back in and it'll suck the flames like back into the fan. So
what are you using for the blower? What are you blowing the air with?
Just like one of those scroll fans, like the sideways fan.
Oh, okay.
It looks really good. Like, I honestly have...
the compression. That's the video compression.
Yeah, I'd pay $50 for one of those.
It costs probably more than $50 to make that one.
Yep, I would pay $50 for one of those.
What do they say? A little bit of paint will sort of make your welds look good, and I think a little bit of compression will also make your welds look good.
It's like having a blood alcohol level that's just over the legal limit. It makes everything look up.
Yeah, I was thinking of having... I have some people that sometimes help me with stuff like, any kind of like, I say engineering or designing or CAD stuff that I don't want to do or don't have time to do. And I was going to take my dumpster that I made for the raccoon video and have them spend a little bit of time turning it into like a more kit-friendly thing that you could put together yourself.
That
like
would be a fun kit.
I really want to do that. It's just like I spent a lot of time doing the tabs and slots, but to get away from like having to glue stuff, because dude, gluing is like the instant you introduce glue to a project, it's like not fun anymore.
Yeah,
unless you're a 6-year-old man. So it's like using like little like wedges or like little tabs. So it's like you have the slot, and then the other laser cut wood kind of comes through the slot, but then that has a hole, and then you can like shove, you like wedge another piece in there.
Yeah, that's nice.
So kind of like everything kind of like locks in place, and that way you can like get it, you kind of put it together pretty quickly. You don't have to deal with like clamping stuff together or gluing things together.
That would be really nice. I feel like a lot of these like the laser cut kits that you see, they're like made by people who are really into like laser cutting and not really in what the actual thing is.
Yeah.
And so it's always like a box or some kind of a shape or like a placard or so. Like it's usually lame. I think a dumpster would actually be really cool.
If I could spend, if my career could be making laser cut kits that I thought were cool, that were like easy to assemble, I could do that all day. Like if I knew I could sell enough of them to like pay my bills and everything, I would sit there all day just designing like intricate little things that like fit together. There's something like maybe wrong with my brain where it's very, I'm very satisfied with like automation, where it's like you spend like 100 hours doing something in CAD. Getting it
so you could like redo it over and over again. Perfect.
And then you end up only making one.
Yes. I think you're actually just describing Crunch Lab. Isn't that basically what Marky Mark's doing with Crunch Labs?
Like... Yeah, he has more abilities.
That's a free promo, by the way, Mark. You're welcome.
You know, he sent me a box because he wanted me to send him something.
You got a Crunch Lab box? I haven't gotten a Crunch Lab box.
It was an empty box, Mark. He was just sending me a box so I could put the thing in it that he was harassing me to send to him
for months.
And I was like, oh, he sent me a Crunch Lab box, and then I'll put the thing in it and send it back to him.
Empty.
There was jack shit. I knew it. I knew he was going to do that. He sends me, I'm like, he's going to send me an empty box. And then he sends me a Crunch Lab box. And I was like, all right, I feel like a dick now. For being like, you know, thinking the worst of Mark Rober, just going to send me an empty box as like a passive aggressive way to get me to send him something. Nope. It was actually an empty box. And then went right back to
So fucking on brand for him. Like,
you could have at least sent me a little catapult or something.
Yeah, you could have like built it. You should have sent him an empty box back.
Nah, he sold out, dude. There's all the Crunch Lab kits. They're gone. Like, people love that. They're nice. They look really nice.
Yeah.
Really? That's why I wish that he would send us some.
Man, only if I was a better YouTuber and a better businessman and, you know,
a better
person overall.
Yeah, if you were as good as Mark Rober. What's the opposite of crunch? You could make moist labs and it's a laser cut dumpster kit.
Squish labs.
It comes with a matchbook
like
so you can put your own fire
gasoline.
In there.
All the kits have been left out in the rain for 3 weeks before we bail them out.
Can you can gasoline like in a soda can? That would be pretty funny.
Sealed, like a sealed ampule, like a glass ampule of gasoline.
Yeah.
You have to crack it open.
Like one of those fire extinguishers from the 1600s, the glass ones that you throw.
Oh, yeah,
gasoline instead.
Yeah. I think there's probably a rule about shipping that through the U.S. Postal System.
You have to say that it's in there. If you don't say that it's in there, what are they going to do?
I don't know. Well, the problem is, like, if you're using the USPS, it becomes a felony no matter what, I think. If it's mail fraud.
You get caught. Can you make more money than
your bail would be? That's the question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was looking into recently if there's any possible way to ship live hornets through the mail. I really like the idea of, like, I had this whole video idea where, like, I want to make a bee gun. It shoots bees. And then part of it would be, like, you know, hashtag team bees for $1, save a bee. And it would be in my store and saving a bee. It's like, well, it's not like adopting it in name, like with a tiger. I'm actually going to send you a bee, but then it's a hornet.
This is literally like Mark Rober smoked half a pound of methamphetamine and then started a business.
But so like, I couldn't figure out a way
diversifying
to...
his YouTube business.
Expecting the twist coming like way, way before it did. And then the actual twist is sending you a hornet instead of a bee. Like, I thought the twist was I'm going to send you a bee. That's how I'm saving it.
No, the twist is that I actually have no idea what a bee is. So everyone gets wasps. But like, I really tried. I can't figure out a way to... actually send them because there's exemptions for honeybees, but otherwise you can't just ship like animals, especially animals that can like kill people.
Yeah. Can you ship peanut butter?
So peanut butter, and it just so happens that it was infested with a single wasp.
Right.
It happens
in the middle.
You know?
Yes.
It does happen.
You
I
send
think
them a
about,
flower, it has a
like,
it has a beehive on it.
Would it be okay to ship a like a trap, like a bee or a hornet trap that's empty, but during transit, it just collects hornets inside of itself.
I have a question.
Yes.
So what if you are shipping a hornet's nest? You're not shipping hornets.
I think that's way worse.
You're shipping the shell that they live in.
Is it empty?
Well, you didn't know that you're not...
Well, that was
it's Schrodinger's hornet nest.
Well,
how do you say Schrodinger? Scrotum? It's Schrodinger's hornet's nest.
I need to talk to an actual lawyer about this because I was kind of wondering like how much cover I get if I actually claim.
I feel like we should all say that sentence more frequently.
Yeah, I should talk to a lawyer about like how much coverage I get if I honestly can't tell the difference between a honeybee and a hornet. Like,
Is there any leeway there at all?
Wow.
I'm sorry,
right,
Your Honor.
You can only ship honeybees.
Bees.
And it says it has
bees.
To be labeled live bees on the package.
Yeah.
We were
Otherwise,
driving...
I think it's a felony. I think it because it's mail. It becomes like a mail fraud thing.
We were driving on the freeway once going up to San Francisco. This is a couple years ago. And we passed a car. I think it might even be in an old video.
I think I was driving. I think
you
that was
driving?
In the PSC. I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah. And there was the car, the SUV, and it just had a bunch of boxes that said live bees. And
yikes.
It's like a Suburban or something. Completely enclosed, right? Windows down or windows up, doors closed on the freeway, filled with boxes of live bees. And yeah, I mean, there's only one thing that crosses your mind, right? Like, what happens if like one of the boxes opens up? What do you do?
I think, God.
You like open your driver's handbook really quick and see where it's.
Yeah, look up what to do when that happens.
When your car is filled with bees. I don't remember this part of the DMV driver test.
There's just something so I don't know. I love the idea of bees just being where they're not supposed to.
This is sort of where the atomic bomb came from. It's just someone had an idea and they kind of just didn't stop and they never thought about it. They just had the idea. It's like, well, technically this is, you know, will help us win the war.
And then it happens, and then they're like, cool. Like, what if we try like plutonium too? Like that should be a bigger boom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I definitely kind of I can see how that would happen too, because you know when you just sort of want to see something work and you stop thinking about how much it costs or how much it's going to hurt you, or you just kind
it's of more
like
of
you're
like yeah, it's a personal challenge to
yeah,
these
the
engineers.
More, yeah. The more I look into like the history of that, and the more I like you know try and. Do stuff like the more that like we even do stuff the more I realize that like all of the people who worked on the atomic bomb it was essentially like a team of Kevins. I think that's probably if you travel back in time 70 years or so and you put a dozen Kevin clones in a room with some plutonium or whatever
I think that's actually like if I had an unlimited budget I could have a bomb by the end
because
of the week.
Because you hear about like the Demon Core story where there's like a single screwdriver keeping the, and then it accidentally falls. That's 12 of you in a row.
That... I'm going to make a bold, well, it wasn't 12 for that long. I'm going to make a bold claim. I don't think any of those people that was working on this were thinking about killing people with this.
You think they all just were like, this is like really crazy cool.
Exactly.
Like,
their goal was not to kill people with a bomb. Like they were not making a bomb for why the government was paying for the bomb. Like the government
they're
was paying
a bomb,
money
like
for
why,
one
why we would make a bomb.
Exactly.
It's cool to see something big blow up. Because
you're just like, I made a bomb. And then you're like, oh no, they just blew up a city with my bomb.
Well, that's the Oppenheimer, was it? His quote, the I am become... Death, destroyer of worlds. What was that? Him? Where like he sees the first time. He's like, oh,
Yeah, they did what they wanted, and then all of a sudden are realizing the person who paid them to do it is now doing what they want. And you're like, oh, I don't think our goal is aligned. Like, yeah, I think you know. I don't know. I guess.
I'm trying to think of. I guess there's like a couple of things where. Like, I've done some high-voltage stuff where someone tried to do it and they did it wrong. They could definitely kill themselves. Like, I guess I'd feel bad, but, like, thankfully that's never been an issue.
Yeah, there's something more about providing, like, explicit instructions. But even then, like, if somebody has ill intent, like, I think the worst thing you can do... Because, I just dealt with this with YouTube. YouTube has kind of cracked down quite a bit.
Yeah. There's been a lot of changes recently that just seem like it's a... Be a lot more careful now.
The past month, we've seen a lot of people have been complaining about getting restricted and demonetized. That's something that...
Mostly swear words and stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's not really the content.
Well, that's the thing is what...
Like in a broad
The way
sense.
I feel about it, because I've talked a little bit to some people inside, but like I don't think I'm talking to like exactly the people who are in charge of some of those decisions, but the idea of like it being dangerous. And I was like... Okay, holy shit. Like, who is making these judgment calls as to what is dangerous? Because I got restricted for the cutting the cable with the wall power with the butcher knife on accident.
I feel like that would have been okay like 2 years ago.
That the whole video, that was the most restricted video on the channel until I appealed it, and then the review team came back after break. It was age restricted and demonetized. The views just completely stopped. Like it just cinched it up. Like nope, no one can see. And I was like, are you like who, how, what? Like, okay, now imagine this. Imagine you're doing stuff and you never show anybody any of the mistakes.
Right, because that one was an
like,
honest.
What could happen?
Right. I remember what was it? It was I had asked you to cut the wire again.
Yeah, you wanted me to refilm it because I'd already cut it. And you were like, oh, do that again, I'll film it.
Yeah.
And then I had already plugged it back in, or I had already turned the breaker back on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and, we didn't know it was live, and we were just, like, getting that shot again, so we had a clean version of it.
Right.
And you cut through it.
And it just explodes. But, like, you know, in my head I'm thinking, okay, if you're a kid and you see somebody cut an electrical wire with a knife and it explodes, does that make them want to cut the knife?
No. I did that all by myself when I was a kid.
Right.
And I never did it again.
Like, that's scary. Like, don't, like, be careful with power. Like, I don't know. That's, I think that, you know, a kid who was going to cut it would already know that they were going to cut it. Like, they were already going to do it. And then finding this would make them be like, oh, that looks dangerous. I shouldn't do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would that? But that's what drives me nuts is there's like somebody's making this, like, kind of objective decision or subjective decision.
Yeah. I mean, I remember. Like, it was years ago, and I don't know if that actually be interesting to see if that video is, like, restricted at all now. But, like, years ago, Colin Furze did a video that I, like at the time, I think I was just, like a teenager or something. I wasn't making videos, but I remember thinking, like, wow, that's, like, a really cool move by him. He made an entire video about, like, he had, like, one of those jet pulse jet engine things or, like, a flamethrower. Something, like, backfired on him.
Like a flamethrower scooter?
Yeah. And so he burned the shit out of his arm, and the entire video was showing the accident, and then, like, the next 4 weeks, him in the hospital showing him, like getting the arm treated and it healing over, like, a month.
And that's kind of what worries me a little bit, is that someone's making a decision to be like, oh, well, that kind of stuff is a little bit too vulgar or grotesque or makes, you know, like, it's sort of dangerous. Because, like, you're sort of showing somebody something that is dangerous.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're showing it to them. You're like, this is dangerous. Right?
Like, look at the power of this thing that I have.
Right.
Like,
as opposed to only showing it working, right? Like, imagine only showing it working.
That was, like, one of the best, like, early lessons I can remember seeing on YouTube was Colin Furze, like, the OG, burned the shit out of himself, and he showed the entire process of, like, no, this wasn't, like, it didn't happen, it was done. Like, the next month he was in the hospital, like, getting his burn treated.
So you can still, like, upload videos like that, but they will potentially just, you know, restrict them and not allow ads to run on them. Mm-hmm. And so then why, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you can kind of see like none of, like, all of us would be like, well, do I want to include that if it's going to, like.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it's almost like there's not enough, like, manpower or like there, you could never possibly have someone make, like, an informed decision on all the footage that goes up on YouTube.
Yeah.
So they have to just kind of make dumb ones almost.
Yeah, I think
that's kind of what that whole, like, self-content rating thing was for.
Right.
You know,
I feel like
there's people like us that are never going to make anything that's, like, malicious or bad on YouTube. Mm. You know, I'm sure that people that do that are just, like, the one-off teenagers who upload something.
I think, but then
how do you even catch that also?
If FBI comes to YouTube, then it's fair game.
Right.
that's the review team that should be the one who's restricting the content.
Who reviews the reviewers? The FBI.
All right, Kevin, there's another one.
Oh, man.
I don't know. It was kind of like a little startling for me because I was sitting there thinking to myself, like, oh, man, like, I've got some stuff I want to do now that's like, I don't know, like, is this dangerous? Like, what is dangerous? Can you not show dangerous stuff, or do you just sort of have to lie about it being dangerous? Like,
make
dangerous stuff look safer than it actually is. Like, that seems like the wrong answer.
Well, like, I just got this laser welder, and normally I have, like, a torch, like a propane torch on my welding bench.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, like, man, what if I just, like, you know, the beam bounced off and it pierced the torch? It would be, like, you know, shooting out. So I'm like, oh, I should do that in the video. But I don't think I should actually do that in the video, because it'll probably get like, you know, they'll say, oh, it's reckless, and,
yeah,
you know, but I would make sure to use like a propane tank that's like only on fumes. It only has fumes left in there.
It's like you want, you not going to really be like an explosion. Being able to import high power, like unprotected lasers.
Yeah.
From China that have no sort of official like.
Like what if a kid just like saw a video on using a circular saw and you're like, here's a circular saw, go play with it. Like, go make me a bed.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. What would a kid make?
The number of like hospital visits for on like during holidays, like Christmas time, is like the plastic packaging cutting people.
Is it?
The clam, something like, I think clamshell packaging.
Huh. Is, oh, like, yeah, I've like cut it and then I went to go tear it and it just like went, you know, it stuck right into my skin.
And it's like, all right, you know, that's a common thing. That's sort of okay. Or power
If you look at, like, overall, I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I guarantee you, if it's like, you look up how many kids have been hurt by, like, watching and emulating science YouTube, and how many kids have been hurt playing football.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
As part of intramural or, like, school sports. I guarantee you, I don't know the numbers, but I bet my life that it's, like, way, like, an order of magnitude more kids getting hurt playing football.
Yeah,
it's
probably worse injuries too, like long-term, like head injuries.
Yeah,
skateboarding.
Like,
kind of,
but that's that's normal. Like that is accepted because it's like, oh, that's just what we do. You know, Johnny is going to be a little slower now.
One kid shoots his eye out with a potato cannon.
It's just like, I think that it's not even anything to do about safety. It's just appeasing, you know, the sort of the dollars, right? Of like, a company comes in and wants to spend money, but also is very paranoid. Like, oh, we don't want, you know, to have our video on a ISIS, you know, beheading video that somehow made its way on the YouTube.
Dang, that was, I thought the meta was going that way. That was going to be my next video.
I'd click on that. it makes me feel like a little bit, I don't know, like, what do you do? Do you just sort of do less obviously dangerous stuff? Do you put more disclaimers? Like, that means anything.
I mean, it just feels like it almost is like kind of like a homogenization of content matter, like subject matter, right? It's like you kind of, it's almost like they're painting into this corner until there's like kind of less and less that you feel like you can do on YouTube until everyone's doing like, I don't know, toy unboxing, Spider-Man, Elsa, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a couple steps away from just jumping straight into that.
I told you, man, that's been plan B for a while for me.
Yeah, just like...
I'm going to go over, like, I'll go adopt a kid and just...
That's how I'm going
to
sell out.
How long do you have to wait? Can you return them after, like,
I think
like
it was, like,
days?
A year, that
a year?
One family vlogger.
Okay,
I think it was,
so
like, a year,
film,
right?
We could probably film up, like, a couple years worth of content in that single year and then just return them.
You literally did that with that raccoon, though. You already did that.
Yeah, but
you
I can't legally own a raccoon here.
I feel like there's more red tape with owning a raccoon than there is a kid.
Yeah, there is.
Believe it or not.
Actually... That's horrifying, but I think it's pretty much true, is that you
can
get...
Well, wait, do you technically own a kid? If you have a kid, do you own it, like, on paper, or is that...
Oh, yeah, I think until they're 18, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're your responsibility. Like, if they go cause some damage, it comes back to you. They're sort of like, I don't know what the technical term would be, but they're definitely like, they're an offshoot of you. Like, they're tied to you financially.
Like, but you can own a kid the way you can own a dog...
that's a comparison I was gonna make, but I didn't want to go there, so I'm glad.
I think that the answer, like, my guess would be, like, legally, kind of, like, sort of, like, it almost behaves like it, but you don't actually own them. But for all intents and purposes, I think maybe you could describe them as being owned.
When are we gonna get legal on this podcast? I think we would have a lot of questions for him.
I've already harassed him about a couple of stupid things. I harassed him when we abandoned the Volvo,
the car.
Mine.
Right, yeah.
And I think he said it was dumb, that we did a dumb thing.
Well, how did that happen again? It was because
this is what we like to call
you had a car.
Fucky.
That, like, the oil pan or whatever
so
broke?
So, coming
like
down the mountain, Kevin and I, we were in the same car, right? On the way
down?
Yeah,
it was you and Kevin, and I was driving on my own in the other off-road vehicle, converted off-road vehicle.
Yeah,
Michael
had
already left at that point, yeah.
We sent
yeah,
her
Michael
a little
took off.
Too hard. So, we abandoned. So, basically, this video actually, I think, is coming out next week. Or maybe this week. I don't really know. I need some more video. We bought, so Brent, who was in the last podcast, Brent Underwood, the owner the mine guy, the owner of Cerro Gordo, which is tied, you know, the YouTube channel Ghost Ghost Town Living. He was on the podcast last week. He owns a silver mine, which is essentially a museum that they've covered in super glue. And no, okay, wait. No, my description was when you go to a museum, they cover everything in like super glue and they weld it together and it's all safe. So you can't, like, everything is like seized up and doesn't work. So Cerro Gordo is the exact opposite. Everything works and you can touch everything and it's insane. And so we filmed a video coming up there, but he warned us that we needed to have four-wheel drive because it's like a kind of a crazy dirt road. And it actually was, it had just been washed out and they fixed it like kind of right as we showed up. He's like, you need four-wheel drive. And I'm like, okay, perfect. So we went and bought two-wheel drive cars. And
math checks out.
We customized them.
Exactly. We customized them. We upgraded them. And we tried to off-road up this mountain. And on the way
which
down.
Which goes up a mile, by the way. It was like a 7-mile-ish long trail that goes
8 miles.
Up.
It's 8 miles.
8 miles out and 1 mile up.
Vertical,
we went vertically
yeah.
up 1 mile.
Yeah.
Which is considering that like when how far up does the atmosphere go? Is like 60 miles.
Like
when
a
you
mile.
Think of it in those
it's
terms,
like...
we went a significant way up.
I think it's just about it's like it was like 500 feet above where we were.
Breathable
where
atmosphere
ended.
Breathable atmosphere, not much higher than what we were at.
So we drove the cars up there, which used a surprising amount of gas. We should have filled up because I think we were getting like 2 miles of the gallon going up the hill.
Yeah,
we're also
it was
driving
like,
really aggressively.
Because we drove hundreds of miles to get to
yeah.
that point, and the cars did really well. And then once we like had to go off-roading, I think I spent like half a tank of gas just doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. And if that was like the road after it was fixed, I would hate to see what it actually normally looks like.
On the way down, however...
which
we
you think would be
the
easier.
You think
going
would
down
easier.
Would be easier.
I think the problem is it lets you go faster, and when you go faster, your suspension is going to compress more when you hit bumps, and when you compress more, you get closer to the ground, and then you crack your oil pan on a rock. And so we had to abandon the car there.
We left
because
it
was like
trail.
You couldn't have driven
couldn't yeah.
more than, like, because it was still
oh,
running,
no.
but if you had tried to go
yeah.
like
any
farther. Sort of distance,
it
would have just...
up.
Died.
I think the last drop of oil fell out where we parked it
yeah.
on at the end of the mountain.
So we were
road.
Trying to figure out what to do. It's like, well, we can't drive this. We can't really tow. Uh-huh. We can't do anything. Like, do we just leave it here and call a tow truck? And we're like, no, we have a great idea. So we took the title, which I don't really know exactly how this works, but I hadn't signed the title yet. And so I was like, all right, I left it in the glove box and I put the key in the hitch that we had welded onto it. And I said on to our Patreon Discord for Safety Third, I was like, whoever wants a free car, the oil pan's cracked, the title's unsigned, it's at the bottom of the Cerro Gordo silver mine. And then somebody sent us a picture a couple hours later, and there's no car there. And they're like, oh, the car is gone. And I was like, all right, okay. So I was sort
of
hoping that whoever took it would claim it and tell me they took it. But now
yeah.
what I'm realizing is somebody has a car with an unsigned title, and I'm sort of just praying that they register it to their own name. Otherwise, now there's essentially this like kind of stolen car that's in limbo. So I was sitting there thinking to myself, like, okay, what do we do? Do I file a police report? Like, oh shit. I was in my head. I was like, someone's gonna claim it. They're gonna say, oh, I have the car, and then it's their car. But instead, what happened is it just sort of disappeared.
And then your the obvious choice was I'm gonna DM Legal Eagle and see.
So
what
I DM Legal Eagle and I was like, all right, hear me out. I've done a thing, and I think he said something. He said it was very dumb and that I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
But at the
right.
end of the day, we learned that Brent had actually taken the car.
Yeah.
Right.
So I told him it was at the bottom. I said, hey, we're gonna call a tow truck tomorrow, but. Also, it might not
he
be
was
that.
Fast.
You know, you start trying to explain this to me,
yeah.
and you realize you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. No, I want to go back up. I want to fix their
oh,
water
I
want to
go back so bad.
Yeah,
because
I didn't get to see the museum. I didn't know what you guys were doing.
You
I thought you were just
collecting grenades or something.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's
yeah. Well, look, Kevin, we didn't get
I
grenades,
was dirt
so
bikes
like you
of
got
the
your own
country.
Thing, and we got our own
yeah.
thing.
We got a tour.
Know?
Yeah, did you see
yeah.
it? Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
yeah, I like the big giant bar of lead, all the pickaxe heads that other stuff in there. It's super cool.
Dude, that thing was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's, right now on the Safety Third Patreon, there is a like a 40-minute vlog basically of us exploring the silver mine at Cerro Gordo. So if you're into that, yeah, except for Kevin. No, you're in there till the end.
Yeah, he found some like military shooting range they definitely shouldn't have been in.
Yeah. That there's gonna be a shorter version of it published publicly, like I don't know, maybe like 15-minute version. But if you sort of like the longer videos, that's up right now. But yeah, we did a whole tour and everything, and I wanna go back real bad. And I have a friend who's not civil engineer, but environmental engineer. And he does like water stuff for the city. And I'm like, hey, you want to help me kind of come up with a way to get this water out of the mine? Because there's water 700 feet under the mine entrance that you should go. If you're into mines or like kind of caves or, you know, gold mine, silver mine.
All three of our listeners. That
Minecraft.
If you're into Minecraft.
Among Us.
Go watch some of Brent's videos. Go watch the water ones. There's one that's like a 40-minute one, and there's one that's like a pretty short one that kind of describes it. It's crazy because it's so bizarre of how like the water leaks into the mine from literally the walls. Like
They don't even know. Where does it come from?
It's not groundwater. It's like mountain water. It's like water coming through the dirt over who knows how long it takes for it to actually traverse through the ground. And then it leaks into one of the caverns, which I'm assuming they just discovered this accidentally. They just dug a tunnel and all of a sudden started flooding. And so they're like, oh, cool, water. They dug a sump. So there's a big pool. It's like maybe, I don't know, it's actually not huge, but it's big for being 700 feet underground. It fills with water slowly as water leaks in and drains to the cave or into the sump. And they pump it out. But they're having problems with it. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, I could totally do this, especially with, like, a little bit of help from people who are familiar with pumps. You know, like, I mean, pumping something, water 700 feet up is crazy. Like, that's not a trivial task. I mean, to the right person, it's trivial. But it's not a standard. It's not, like, this is not something that you see frequently. I mean, even in skyscrapers, I don't think it's 700 feet straight up. They probably do it sequentially.
Right, right. Because at that point, you have to deal with huge pressures, right? If, like, you're
No, I actually, we were talking about this before, and I did the math, and it's only, like, 70 pounds of water. Because it's a thin pipe. It's only, like, half
inch. Yeah, but what's the PSI at the bottom?
Oh, I don't know.
It ends up being, like, 600 PSI or something like that.
Depending on the diameter of the tube.
It's crazy. It's, like, super, like, the head is crazy, the amount
Oh, yeah, because it's, like, 70 pounds on, like, that would be, like, 100.
Depending on the cross-section, right? If it's less than a square inch, the cross-section, that's going to multiply that by however many times.
There's also, like, some complexity in, like, the dynamic. Like, I took one fluid dynamics class, but, like, water pressure is different than, like, accelerating water, right? So, like, the instant you start trying to accelerate water, the pressure is going to increase. I don't know by how much, but, like, I think there's a lot of like kind of complexity that comes from just trying to get the water moving, because it does it like it's a diaphragm pump that's in there right now. We did some research on the pump, and I think it like does it in chunks. So it's like a peristaltic pump kind of, but it not in the actual mechanism, but in the sort of mechanic of the pump, where the pump can move defined, like it can move defined volumes.
Oh, it moves like batches of water and not continuous.
Yeah,
every time that's what the dunk. Da-dunk,
oh, da-dunk, okay, da-dunk. Okay.
And there's like a worm drive in there. So it's like a worm screw. So it's like super low geared. It's doing like little batches. So it's like constantly, like the water is stopping, going. And that acceleration is what causes like, you know, the sort of the hammering effect. And that hammering effect is brutal. It's like, you know, imagine like a 20-pound child. You could pick them up easily. But, okay, this is a bad analogy. But if they jump off of like a two-story building, you try to catch them. They weigh 20 pounds. But the force is going to feel a lot more than what 20 pounds is when you're just picking it up in gravity, if that makes sense.
It's not just one kid even. It's a whole line of children
right,
jumping
exactly.
off this building. You've got to catch them all one after another.
You have to catch all the kids
another.
Or else.
You're going to get tired really quick, and then what's going to happen to the rest of the kids?
It's bad. It's really bad. You know, after the pile is big enough, that won't be such a big problem.
Yeah, that's where the analogy breaks down. It's a lot like the water and electrons. It's good up to a point, but...
So I want to go back. I don't know about you guys. I mean, Kevin wants to go back. I'm assuming everybody wants to go back because it's definitely badass. And I don't think I have the balls to go in the elevator.
No, especially after like the footage we tried to get last time and what happened to the elevator.
It got stuck.
I don't think that made it in the video.
Because what you were trying to get just like some B-roll of like a GoPro underneath the elevator on its way down, so you could just sort of see like the endless depth. Because it's 900 feet, right? Was it 900 feet?
It's 900 feet to the bottom, yeah.
And so, but then the elevator didn't even move down like a story, not even a story.
It went down like 3 feet and then it jammed. It got stuck. Like, I think one of the boards.
Sideways
and
it wedged itself in the mine shaft.
I was thinking like, man, they should like really kind of fix some of this stuff up. And then I'm like, also, actually they shouldn't, because the easier it is to use and the safer it is, the more you'll put yourself into dangerous situations going into the mines, which you cannot fix unless you're a billionaire. And so I think it's perfect. I think it's exactly what it needs to be, where you get to see how bad it is because of how old and janky and cheap, you know, it was. Well, I mean, not cheap, but it's still just like dirt walls with plywood, you know, keeping the dirt in on 900 feet of elevator.
I feel like I would go down the elevator if everyone else did too. I think I'd give in to peer pressure. If the two of you were in the elevator, I think I'd also get in the elevator.
I would do it if it was faster. Like if it would just go down there. Yeah. If I could be down there in like 10 minutes, I would definitely get in
that
elevator.
It could potentially be way too fast. If the stars align, it could actually go way faster
longer than I'm worried about something going wrong. That makes it worse.
If they were able to make it accelerate at 9.8 meters per second squared, I would consider getting on. I'm like, you know, maybe even if there's like a passive secondary cable, like some sort of industrial like fabric cable that can support the weight, like, you know, I don't know what they use, like
Kevlar
climbing
cable.
Rope, the Kevlar cable or
Dynamo.
Something. And it's on like a flywheel with a clutch, right? So
auto belays for a rock climber.
Yeah. So if you start slipping too quickly, it will engage.
You don't trust the 150-year-old e-brake on the elevator currently?
I don't trust the wood beams that it digs into.
That's right.
Because the beams are like going like this all the way down too. So it's like...
if you can build something that makes it a little bit safer, then I'm willing to trust the old part. Because then it's like, well, I know how this works. So if this works, then I trust that it's like a little bit of an insurance policy, you know, like I just,
right.
It's a little too old and a little too shitty to get on it without, you know, just a way.
Just imagine how cool it would be 900 feet under, because didn't Brent mention that? Like there was like a little hangout place down. Like, didn't he spend like a whole, like couple of days down there on his own?
Yes.
He had like a story about that.
Oh yeah.
So if you look at the video, of the water, so part of the problem is that the pump is by the elevator, and then the water line has to go 50 yards to the water. But to get to the water, they had to run the line over a little mountain of rubble in the cave.
Oh, yeah. That's collapsed.
So you're going into a cave that has, like, active collapses in it. Like, you have to be sort of a madman to hang out.
Yeah. Isn't there earthquakes in the area too? I mean, it's in California. Yeah.
What are the odds? Like 99.999% of the time, it's not collapsing.
How many dead miners are in the cave stuck behind a collapsed wall?
More than
one. Wasn't it like at least 18 or something?
I think it's probably, if I had to guess, I would probably put it in the hundreds.
Fuck, no way. Yeah. Really? You think there's hundreds of miners
based
in there?
Based off of the one incident he said where it was dozens.
Uh huh.
And
but you think
talking,
that, like, happened, like, several times.
There's no way it did not happen. And it's like, you know, what back in the day, you put people that you don't give a shit about into these bad situations. And so if they, like, if something happened, like...
But children. that collapse made it into the newspapers. That's why he knew about it. So, like, if there was a
big deal, right?
Yeah,
but, like,
if one guy
dies that is just disposable day labor, like, manual labor, like... I mean, I think, you know... Of the history classes we've taken, that is something that you know, has stuck with me, of how excellent their workers were treated back in the day.
Oh yeah, I mean, this was like a huge mining corporation. This is like,
right, you just bring a bunch of people here and you treat them badly, and they it's harder to fight back because they're, you know, foreign and don't really understand maybe
like out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they use their own company money.
How else are you supposed to make money? Like, well, you mean, make less money if you don't kill
people. I'm not saying they shouldn't have done it.
You make less money if they find out you killed people.
There's probably hundreds of dead miners in the caves.
I don't know about hundreds, although there's 30 miles of it.
Fine, thousands.
I'd believe thousands.
Even if there was two dead miners every mile, how many miles? 30 miles? That's
30
60
miles.
Dead miners.
60
if there's
dead
three
people,
dead miners every mile.
Miners per mile.
Yeah, once you hit four, then yeah, you pass 100. If there's on average four
three
dead miners,
point
for
three,
every
three
mile
dead miners every
per mile.
Mile. Repeating, of course.
Yeah, I that place was really like you don't get to experience that. I would definitely go back.
Should we make a Patreon goal? If we hit a certain amount of money, then we'll go in the elevator.
Oh God. How much money would it be worth? How much money? Actually, that could be, can we ask people to pitch a number for us, like how much our lives are worth?
I don't think we're gonna like the answer that people choose.
People in the comments to tell us how much our lives are worth, and that'll be the Patreon goal of going into.
Okay, leave a comment down below of how much you think our lives are worth. No, yeah, that's it. That's the whole question.
Don't we already have a goal for 5,000 Patreons?
Oh well, what did
it
we
was
say?
Sitting on a wall naked and jumping off of it like frogs.
Oh my
like
God!
Frogs jumping
wait,
into
I
the
wasn't
pond.
In that one. I didn't agree to that. I wasn't part of that one.
The Discord server agreed to it for all of us.
Fuck. Yeah. Okay. Well, that stands.
It's
then.
A bunch
can't
of naked dudes
about that.
On a wall with their asses towards the camera in like frog pose, and they just like
but you'd
jump
see our
away.
Balls and shit
no,
like
well,
dangling.
How big are your balls?
I feel like you'd be if we were in frog
Top,
pose.
Okay,
I think you'd
get
see
some of
there.
The like the stuff that women use for their dresses, like the strap stickers.
Oh yeah.
Like
a pasties, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, well, so no, the idea is that you don't want people to see our balls.
Just
it's our just
ass. But it's really bad quality, and it's super dark, and it's just like kind of a one light source. And so you just see a bunch of like naked dudes, like frog jumping away from the camera.
I don't know about you guys, but like there's going to be hair sticking out. Like if we're, because frog is like spread open, legs wide.
Okay, well, not like that kind of frog, but more like, you know, like a, God damn it.
Of a frog are you talking about? Because the frog I'm imagining, there's going to be balls, there's going to be hair. Even from
frogs
behind,
don't
there's going to be
balls.
An asshole.
Yeah, watch Kevin. Kevin's going
to
do
it. All right, Kevin, show us how to do this without revealing.
It's like this.
That?
This is...
Yeah, and you just sort of
okay.
Ribbit.
I think you'd still see a lot. You'd still see a lot.
We're just going to replicate the video. You can't see anyone's balls in the video.
I mean, I didn't say that I wouldn't do it. I'm just letting everyone know that that's what they're saying.
That you're not
going
to see the balls.
I just wanted people to be aware of the situation.
I feel like no matter how far away a goal feels like it is, like, there's something about
you're
just
not ready
these,
for
you're
it.
You're like making these promises, and you're just like, yeah, that'll never happen, and then it happens, and you're like, well, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. I've decided. If the Discord said to do it, then I'll do it. Wait, what is this supposed to be replicating?
I there was this video. It was just a
just
weird
like a meme.
I'll send. How do we show this? We've got to put it in the. Can we
chat?
Put it in this? Let's get the age video. Video
I have it.
Restricted.
I'll post it. I have it on desktop ready to go.
It's just a bunch of frogs jumping off a wall.
No, here I'll you watch it and I'll describe it verbally for the viewers and the.
Oh, is it in the Discord? Okay, I
yeah.
see.
So
okay,
there's,
okay.
It's very dark, and
oh,
there's
God.
A bunch
Wait,
of
people.
On a like brick wall, like five guys on a brick wall, and they're all stark naked, and it's really bad quality.
And they're
jumping off the wall. They kind of look like monkeys, but then they're hopping away, popping out from behind the wall. But it's so dark that you can't really, it's like dark and grainy.
I think the angle of the camera helps a lot with not seeing their assholes or balls.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, too. That's why
we do this
why
at the mine.
Yeah, why are we doing this? Why are we?
Because well, we're not doing it unless what was the goal? 5,000 patrons.
5,000 patrons.
Because you know we'll do anything for money, including going down a mine hole.
Wait, how many patrons are there currently? What's the last count?
I have no idea.
Is it anywhere near 5,000?
All I know is that the manager Ian comes to me and says that we can afford the editor we hired.
Does he know that he's going to be editing footage of us naked and jumping like frogs?
I think that he has not found out about that one, but I maybe will edit that one myself. That way I can see everyone's buff.
Yeah, we all know the real reason why you want to do that.
Oh, no. Oh, I guess we have to do this now.
I can't find the origin of this, like, 5,000 Patreon thing on the Discord server, oh, really? So I might be making that up, which means I just posted it.
No, I did. I did it. It's in the announcements tab.
I searched for 5,000.
You made it up. You're the one who made it up then.
I just thought it'd be funny. Man. I feel like we got to incentivize. We got to provide activities and goals.
Should we have one that's lower than 5,000 then?
Do we just do that, but we take off more clothes for each milestone we hit?
every 1,000, we have 20% less clothes until we have zero clothes.
I just want to do more. I want to do more extra stuff. Like it's nice being able to have an editor to just kind of throw something at, because a lot of the bottleneck, or all the bottleneck for doing videos, at least for me, is just having to like take the footage, upload it. You know, even just getting on your computer is sort of a pain in the ass. It's not like hard, but like all these little steps you have to do, and then having to like sift through and edit and put it together, and it's like being able to just like do something dumb. Like the tractor video, which we did another one too. So there's another video coming on Saturday. And it's like, we spent a little bit of time filming it, like, you know, 30 minutes. And then we send it to Jacob to edit, and he does a really good job, and I don't have to think about it. And so being able to afford to pay him, this is like giving me all sorts of ideas. Like, what are stupid little things we could do?
Yeah, I think the extras are always, they always end up like, I don't know, is it bad like to say that they always end up way better than I think they will be?
Yeah.
Even like the dog food versus human, like one of the early ones,
so
I can remember.
Good.
It was really good. It was very watchable considering that we were just eating dog food the entire time.
Yeah, because we weren't thinking. So I'm just ringing the door, one sec.
Oh, bye, Will. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. Well, you know, I tried to go as long as I could in that dog food video without eating dog food. Like, I was playing it smart.
Yeah.
I was really against it. Like, I was sure you guys were all going to get
minutes.
Like, yeah. And then Will got everybody with the burger at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the best, like, the most fun kind of content comes from not really thinking too hard about stuff. And
thinking too hard, I thought I was going to get like some kind of parasite and die from the dog food.
It's dog food.
Oh, you're worried about like dying? Look at Mr. Backdoor Scientist.
Dogs die from eating dog food sometimes. And they're dogs. They
sometimes,
eat food.
Not all the time, Kevin. Sometimes people die from eating people food. I bet you dog food statistically is safer than human food.
Like of deaths per capita
I'm just thinking about like how automated the processing is. Like there's no way, like I feel like having humans involved in preparing food is sort of the weakest link.
Well, if you make the food taste like to us horrible, and it's just that's a good thing.
Speak
about
for yourself. I want to eat the whole can.
It was so gritty. It's so gritty and
what was that? All the bones,
liver. Yeah, because I don't think they don't do as good of a job grinding on the bones. So I think the dogs like the bones.
Is there any like data on how much longer dogs would live if they ate like real food? Is that a thing? Because I've heard that.
What's real food though? Like a real steak or like
I don't know, like not just dried kibble,
like dead squirrels that they found on the side of the
like
road,
whole like free range squirrels.
I think statistically, dogs that live in the wild eating natural food die much earlier than dogs who live in captivity.
Yeah, whatever the world's oldest living dog, whatever dog that is, I guarantee you it lives indoors and eats
or
dog
drink alcohol.
That's
yeah,
also
but
if true.
What if, what if it ate like, you know, organic cooked chicken all day?
I think
it took multivitamins.
I think that there's definitely bad dog food. So like the real super cheap stuff,
right,
is probably bad for your dog and would maybe make it fat or just slightly malnourished. I don't think if you're going to buy like a higher end processed dog food.
Yeah.
I doubt it makes
a
difference.
I think you're right, but I think it's like a myth. You know, everyone's like, there's a lot of people now that want to feed their dog by themselves. You know, they'll just give it like, you know, just steak and cheese. They're like, this is all my dog needs to survive.
Bad.
It's
I mean,
got none of those byproducts in it. And the dog's like a 400-pound sausage, like waddling around.
But what was one of the biggest things you noticed about the dog food other than the fact that it tasted horrible? Like organ meat and gritty. There's one defining thing that I can think.
Oh, it's not salty at all. Dogs
can't
salt.
Not salty at all.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. We had to season it.
Yep. And so I think like I would guess that people preparing food for their dogs inevitably potentially cause more harm for their dog by preparing it in a way that they eat food.
Right. I think they'd be like, make it taste good for people.
Right.
But not understand that dogs are not people.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not a dog scientist or anything like that, but I also think, you know, the likelihood of your dog dying from getting hit by a car is probably much higher than, you know,
I think it's also like, you know, we know exactly what dogs need to survive and they'll eat it every day, like happily.
Like you can feed your dog the greatest, healthiest organic food all day and it would still eat its own shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
or it's going like, to eat a rat that your neighbor poisoned. Like,
and I'll eat a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos instead.
Yeah.
Because it tastes
talking about keeping your dog alive forever.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos is like human dog food, though. Like, I think if there was aliens keeping
it's like
people
corn
as
byproduct.
Pets, yeah, you would fucking pour the Flamin' Hot Cheetos into the bowl for the people to eat out of.
What's the closest thing to
like
human
dog
food?
Like a little bottle full of ranch in your...
Like, of all the foods that we regularly eat, what do you think is the closest to dog food?
Cereal, I think. Or like a liver pate? Oh, you mean like in concept?
Yeah. I mean like sort of the level of eating just, you know, when you think dog, like what do you think of dog food? You think, oh, they're just throwing all the crap in there. They're grinding it up. They're not really thinking much about it. Like it's sort of nutritionally sufficient.
I think Kevin's guess of cereal is pretty close. I
like
feel like
granola is always full of crap.
Yeah. I feel
it's
like
always got
people,
bits in there.
Like muesli or granola or like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Or like
that's fiber one
or something. You know,
yeah,
like what's
that's
the really
people
crunchy
food.
Cereal that's just like.
What about like hot dogs or.
Well, I'd like the hot dogs is physically close, but I think conceptually it's like a box of cereal is like human kibble.
Okay.
Because it's got all the vitamins you need.
Or like.
You put it into a bowl. You eat it every day.
Yeah. But maybe those like protein bars, like the meal replacement bars almost, like the mass gainer, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's nasty.
What about from like a process standpoint?
Like a hot dog, a Spam.
Yeah.
Like any of those like things that are just ground up and meat glued together.
I've been buying a lot of like lumber recently and
bologna.
Like OSB and like fiberboard
which is
like that.
Wood bologna.
Exactly. Food. It's like here's a butt, which is really honestly amazing that you can take essentially what would have been thrown away and you compress it into usable material. I feel like that's kind of a hot dog. Like hot dogs are sort of the OSB of the food world.
That's true. I had a thought the other day of like if like a fast food company, like if McDonald's sponsored a pregnant woman to only eat McDonald's, could she safely give birth to a McDonald's baby? Like if you only eat McDonald's for 9 months, that baby is made of McDonald's, right? Like the baby could only be made out of McDonald's atoms and molecules if she's only eating McDonald's the entire time. Like could that, do you think the baby would be alive? Do you think you could do
like
that?
This baby's like, brain has been constructed with protein that's been deconstructed from patties and reassembled it to neurons.
Like, what? How much money do you think a fast food like a Subway baby, like how much do you think it would cost to pay a pregnant woman to only eat that food for 9 months?
What was the consequence?
Could you, like, have them, like,
in supersized
in some sort of baby Olympics and see who's the healthiest?
Two pregnant women, two different food brands, and see which
baby's
healthier.
Burger King versus McDonald's baby. What happened in Super Size Me? I remember watching Super Size Me. It came out a long time ago. The documentary where the guy ate. Wasn't the whole thing a little bit of like, not I want to say a shizer, but wasn't it like kind of greatly exaggerated?
Yeah, like later, I think in later years, it came out that the guy's kind of a piece of shit and that the whole time he was like a raging alcoholic. And so that explains some of the test results that he got was that he was eating McDonald's, but he was also like getting wasted every night.
He was like drinking more calories than he was eating from McDonald's.
So
I think
it's like
pretty accurate.
There was another documentary like a year afterward where another guy did the same thing, but he like exercised during the time and he counted calories and he showed that he didn't gain any weight and his blood tests were fine.
Okay. So out of the people that eat McDonald's for every single meal, how many do you think overindulge in alcohol and how many count their calories and exercise?
And how many of them are pregnant and making a baby out of only McDonald's?
You know, I think there's probably, you could find somebody that would let you subsidize their pregnancy.
I guarantee that if you just gave someone free McDonald's under the stipulation that they can only eat McDonald's while they're pregnant, that you wouldn't have to pay them anything.
Is that unethical? Do you have to go through ethics board if you're just a guy?
They've got salads.
If you're a man with a plan.
I mean, especially if like McDonald's paid them like $1 million. Like,
dude, you don't need to pay them anything. You just give them like food is so expensive right now that
feels a little bit too exploitive.
What are you talking about?
People literally smoke and drink alcohol when they're pregnant. You'll do anything
for the food, but like money is just extra.
It all depends on how bad you think it is for a baby to only eat McDonald's for 9 months. Like, is it actually bad? If it's bad, then it's bad. If it's okay, then it's not that bad to make them do it.
From the way I'm reacting, I think it's bad subconsciously.
We go to McDonald's and tell them, this woman's pregnant. She's only going to eat McDonald's. This baby's only going to be made out of McDonald's. Pay us $1 million and we'll stop the experiment. Could you imagine the team of lawyers being like, if anything is wrong with that baby, it's going to be the biggest disaster, marketing disaster we've ever experienced, worse than Super Size
Me.
Like,
Will. You are
McDonald's
genius.
Baby.
It's a perfect catch 22.
McDonald's baby born with hamburger for a brain. A whole hamburger in its skull, like a Mayor McCheese. I mean, I guess it would. Yeah, you're right in that, like, it wouldn't be worse than like a mom who like drinks and smokes or does drugs when they're pregnant.
If you present them with this option, they're just going to quit.
Yeah. Okay.
It's gonna end up like when they put the McDonald's burger in like the glass jar for like a year and it doesn't mold. The baby's gonna live forever.
You're like, I don't know what this implies about our food, but
but it's working.
I don't want to look too deep into it.
The McDonald's scientist is
the
like
chicken
exactly
nugget
how
the car.
It should be working.
I do think a Subway baby would beat a McDonald's baby in like a little baby wrestling contest. I think that it would be better.
I think Subway's trying to distance itself from children.
I can't imagine why.
Oh boy.
All right, everybody, our plan for after this podcast, this will be the Patreon extra. Actually, do we have a schedule for these yet? I should ask. I think they come out a couple of days later. So if you want the access to the extras, including what we're about to do right now, which is, Kevin, you want
to? We're going to do a couple drawings by memory. So we're going to try to draw a map of the United States by memory and draw a bicycle. Apparently, it's really hard to draw a bicycle just by memory.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Anybody who listens to this podcast and wants some extra content and to support us, we're going to hang out some more, exclusive to Patreon. So you can head on over there. We've got a couple of tiers. We've got, I think the first tier? How do I forget this every time?
It's Big Brain and then Galaxy Brain.
Galaxy Brain and Big Brain. So Big Brain. Okay. Is the option that gets you access to the Discord server, extra content. I think that's pretty much it. Then the Galaxy Brain, we take Polaroids and we send Polaroids out every 3 months. So after 3 months of support, you get a Polaroid of one of us and it's signed. And if you're into that, that's the Galaxy Brain tier. So we could do Q&A too. We do a bunch of Q&As, a bunch of extra stuff. If you're interested in that, go there. That is it. I won't say anymore because I'm just repeating myself. What?
Hold on. That reminds me of something.
Okay. What?
I gotta take some Polaroids.
Oh,
are you gonna do some right now?
Oh,
yeah.
Hey! So hold on.
You're not. There's no way you're gonna be able to see us.
You know what's funny about these the Instax cameras?
There's no way.
If you're looking to buy Polaroid camera, their trademark is screwed. If you're looking to buy an instant film camera, we use the Fujifilm, the Instax Mini, because they don't really. It's hard to buy the other films. The minis are the most accessible. Don't buy the fancy one. Buy the shittier camera because the fancier cameras have automatic exposure and it's total dog water. It doesn't work at all, which is hilarious considering you're paying like $20 more. We have so much trouble with the automatic ones. Crappy one.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hannah was trying to take pictures of me with it. It would never fire because it was like trying to judge.
It's like struggles, and it's like the picture's gonna look like crap anyways. Who cares? Just take it. And it's like nope, and then it underexposes, overexposes.
This actually worked.
Quick tip.
No way. Can you see us?
You're coming in. You're kind of washed out, but I can definitely see Will.
Yay.
Oh yeah. Huh. That's cool.
All right, we'll see everybody for the Patreon extra. Now, bye.